Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
The Bible said in Acts chapter number 16, I'm going to pick up reading in verse number 25, and I want to read the text to you, and then after I read the text to you this morning, allow me some time to lay the groundwork into what's happening in the life of Paul and Silas when we get to verse number 25. The Bible said this, and at midnight Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake so that the foundation of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep and seeing that the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, "Do thyself no harm, for we are all here." Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house." Now you that knows the Bible, if we read further, we know that the Philippian jailer here does get saved by the grace of God, and God changes their life that night, and not only his life, but his family's life. Now I want to look at this verse tonight, or this morning in verse number 20, and preach on that thought. Sirs, what must I do to be saved? Sirs, what must I do to be saved? Now, Father, you know the need of the service today. I pray, God, that thy divine will would be done in it. God, I pray, Lord, that you'd help us as we preach today. I pray, God, that you'd touch our throat, God. I pray, God, that you'd touch our mind and our speech today. I pray, God, that you'd help us, Lord, as only you can. God, there's not a doubt in my mind today that somebody sitting underneath the sound of our voice, Father, probably needs to get saved. I pray, God, that the Holy Spirit would woo and work in their life as only he can. And God, we'll give you the praise. We'll give you the glory. We'll give you the honor, for it's in your Son's name we pray it. Amen and amen. You can be seated this morning. I want to look into these verses again for just a little while and preach on that thought. Sirs, what must I do to be saved? What must I do to be saved? As I began reading chapter number 16, it's a very interesting chapter to read, and I enjoyed reading it even again this morning. And I personally believe that because of chapter number 16, we have the gospel in America today. That Macedonia cry that goes out in chapter number 16, beginning in verse number 6. And that cry goes out for someone to bring the gospel over in to Macedonia. And of course, Paul begins to submit to that and to carry the gospel into the uttermost parts. And as you begin to read this, you find out that Lydia is converted and is baptized there in chapter number 16. And there was a group of them that got mad at the apostle of Paul because he was simply preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. He was telling them what Christ can do for them. Can I say this in passing this morning? The judgment that is falling on us today for worshiping the Lord, the way people look at us, the way society treats us, the way the attack came upon the church last year, that is nothing new. That's been going on all the way back to the book of Acts. And Paul is being criticized and even thrown in prison for preaching the gospel in chapter 16. When he gets there, the Bible said that at midnight, Paul Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto the Lord. Can I say this to you? I've already said it, but let me say it again. The way you react at midnight will have an effect on somebody. The way I was thinking about this morning, matter of fact, each Sunday morning as I'm getting ready, I'll take my phone or my iPad and I'll turn the Bible on where I'm going to be preaching at that day. And I'll try to listen to at least that whole chapter that I'm preaching out of, and a couple before and a couple after, and to get my mind in the context of the Scripture. And I was reading or listening to it again this morning as I was getting ready, and that thought run across my mind right there. You know, Paul and Silas could have got angry and bitter at God right here. Whenever you study chapter 16 out, Paul and Silas is not only prisoned, they're not only thrown in prison, they're thrown in the inner prison. And they're not only thrown in the inner prison, but the Bible said that they was beaten for preaching the gospel. They was beaten for preaching the gospel. And in prison, but what did they do? They continued to do what God said do. Can I say this to you? And I'm not going to preach on this. I'm just going to hit it and move on. It's easy to sing and praise God when it's not midnight. It's easy to say God is good when everything is going great in our life. It's easy to praise God when the sun is always shining. But when it's midnight, you've been beaten and thrown in to the inner prison, and they still sang and praise God. And because of their reaction to the storm, we find a whole household getting saved. One of two things will come out of your storm. Either others will see Christ and be drawn to Him, or others will see you turn from Christ and they will go away from Him. Paul and Silas stayed true to the Lord. And because of that, now the Philippian jailer asked this question that is by far the most important question that is ever proposed. What is the question, sirs? I find this interesting, number one, that the jailer said sirs to Paul and Silas. They was the inmate. They was the one that was in prison. But you know what happened? He began to respect them. He saw something in their life. Can I get an amen right there? Watch this. He says, and I don't know about anybody else, but I'm so sick of pollen. Is anybody else? All right. I know that was an ADD moment, but I'm tired of it. Watch this, sirs. What must I do to be saved? I began to think about that, and let me give you a couple things by way of introduction. I thought about this. What does it mean to be saved? If he says, sirs, what must I? Well, Brother Josh, what does it mean to be saved? Well, I looked at that word, and here's what it means. It means to rescue from harm and from danger. To rescue from harm and from danger. There's a lot of people in this room that is involved in emergency medical services and law enforcement and nursing. And there is this reward that some of you's even gotten that is a life save award. In other words, you found somebody in a bad state, you rendered aid, and you started CPR, you shocked them, you brought them back, and now you have that life save award. What happened? You saved their life. So what is being saved? Being saved is simply this. It is being rescued from harm or for danger. What did the Bible say in Romans 3:23? Here's what he said. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. In other words, every man, every boy, every girl, every woman is a sinner today in the eyes of God. Here's what he said, for the wages of sin is death. In other words, the payment for the sin that we commit is death. But he puts one of those Holy Ghost conjunctions in there. He says, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. What is being saved today? You see, you and I was born in iniquity and shapen in iniquity according to David. We was all born one day. And because of our Adamic nature, we was headed to hell. We was headed to harm. We was headed to danger. So what is being saved? It is God snatching us from that. I thought about this. What does it mean to be saved? And then I thought about this. We talk about this man, some people say it this way, this man, the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, who is Jesus Christ? Who is the Lord? You say, well, Brother John, if you ever met, I sure have. First time I met him was July the 20th, 1994. Yeah, man, at Turner's Creek Baptist Church, when he moved in my life. You say, well, have you talked to him today? Sure have. And you know what? He talked back to me today. Who is this man? Well, let me say this to you. Well, he's the Son of God, according to Matthew 3:17. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. He is God. John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Verse 14 said, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. He is the Son of God. He is God. He is the sacrifice for sin. 2 Corinthians 5:21, for He hath made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. He is the only source of salvation. He said in 1 John 5:12, he that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. He is the only source, because He said in John 14:6, Jesus saith unto them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Who is this man, Jesus? He is the Savior of my soul today. That's who He is. He's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. He's a lily in the valley. He's a bright morning star. He's the one that's altogether lovely. He's the one that loved you enough to give His life, to die on a cruel cross and rise again a third day, victorious over death, hell, and the grave. That's Him this morning. That's who Jesus is today. So He says, sirs, what must I do to be saved? This question the Philippian jailer asked is personal in its application. What must I do? It's punctual in its asking to be saved. But can I say this? It's positive in its answer. Because he said this, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. The question that you may be asking today is this. Well, then how do I get saved? How do I get saved? Brother Dakota, I know you've been in prison preaching a bunch. And you've had that question asked, no doubt, as you've been with Rock of Ages. Brother Ramsey, I know that you've been in prison the right way with Rock of Ages, sharing the gospel. And that question has been asked, what must I do to be saved? How can I get saved? How do I know the Lord and ask Him into my heart? Well, can I show you just two or three things this morning, and we'll go home and eat chicken. Number one, there must be a revealing of the Spirit. I'm telling you, this is as simple as I can make it this morning, but I believe it's what the Lord wants. There must be a revealing of the Spirit. Now, a lot of people get nervous when you use that word Spirit. They get nervous when you use that word Holy Ghost or Holy Spirit. They say, well, that's a charismatic term. No, that's a Bible term. Before the charismatic ever come along, the Bible said the Holy Ghost and the Holy Spirit. There must be a revealing of the Spirit. Listen to what he said in John 6:44. No man. Now, you know what that means? None. Ain't gonna happen. No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. There must be a drawing of the Spirit to be saved. Some people says this, I'll get saved when I want to get saved. I'm going to wait till I'm on my deathbed, and on my deathbed, then I'll pray and I'll get saved. Hear me and hear me. Well, you may pray on your deathbed, but if the Holy Ghost of God's not drawing you to salvation, you'll not get saved on your deathbed. There has to be. He said no man can come to Him. Nobody can be saved except the Father, the Holy Ghost draws him. to salvation. Now here might be a question. Well, preacher, how do I know if the Holy Ghost was drawing me to salvation? Nothing within your natural man wants to be saved. Amen. Nothing within your natural. You said, preacher, how did you know that the Lord was drawing you that night? Because I knew. Can I just say it that way? The Lord draws us. Let me show you something out of this verse. The lack for salvation. No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him. Mankind lacks the ability to save himself. Hence, salvation is of God. Look at this, though. The love for salvation. Except the Father which hath sent me draw him. Except speaks of divine love and grace. Now it says no man can do this except. I'm not changing the Bible right here, but stay with me. If you write in your Bible, you can circle that word except, draw an arrow out to the side, and write L-O-V-E. Or if you're from the country, you can write L-U-V, love. And then you can go like this, which means and. And then you can put in great big letters, G-R-A-C-E, grace. You know what that except is? It's the love of salvation. It's except the Father which I've sent, draw him. Hey, the reason God drawed you is because of one simple thing. Because he loves you and he loves me. The lack for salvation, the love for salvation. But watch this, the leading in salvation. Except the Father, what draw him. The word draw is not attraction. For natural man, it is not. Natural man is not attracted to Christ. It is not your natural nature to be attracted to Christ. It's not your natural nature to pick up this book and read it. Come on, somebody help the preacher. If you pick up this book and read it each day, it's because you discipline yourself to do that. It's not your natural nature to get down on your knees and pray. If you get down on your knees and pray, it's because you desire that. It's not your what happens. Here's what that word draw means. It's not a natural attraction, but rather draw is more like impel, such as the cause of Lot in his family when the angels took hold of their hands and literally pulled them out of Sodom in Genesis 19:16. God in his love and God in his grace drew me to him. He reached down and got a hold of me. When I could not go to where he was, he came to me. Except was that day that love and grace stepped in and he drew me to him. So I see this, there must be a revealing of the Spirit. The Holy Ghost of God is who reveals to you your need of a Savior. I want to say this to you today. You just don't see that need with a natural eye. It's through the Lord. Not only number one, there must be a revealing of the Spirit. Sirs, what must I do to be saved? But I would say this, number two, there must be a realization about self. There must be a realization about self. I'm sorry I'm having to drink so much water, but I've been taking allergy medicine all week, and it feels like two pieces of sandpaper is right there this morning. I really need to give it one, but I was afraid y'all would pass out. There must be a realization of self. Sometimes flame gets down here. And you got to get it out. Ain't that right, Brother Randy? Amen. Come back just a minute. You got to realize some things about you. I got to realize some things about me. Think about this. The Bible said this in Romans chapter 3. As it is written, there is none righteous. No, not one. There is none that understandeth. There's none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. So, preacher, I'm a good man. Well, that's contrary to the Word of God. You ever heard, and I'm as guilty as anybody saying this. Well, that's a good man right there. Matter of fact, Friday night we had that men's fellowship. And Brother Lloyd and Miss Tanya just had joined the church, and Daddy hadn't been here since they've been here. Daddy's just been skipping. Y'all pray for him. I'm glad he's finally come back to church today. Daddy said, "Who's that big old boy over there?" And I said, "That's Brother Lloyd." And here's what I said. "Boy, he's a good feller. But you know, really, according to the Bible, he's not. And really, according to the Bible, I'm not. And you're not. And I'm sorry, Miss Chelsea, but you're wicked as a devil." Miss Chelsea got a promotion. She got promoted to the director of preschool at Calvary this past week. Congratulations. Now come back. Now we'll talk about that later. We're all wicked. If you're ever going to get saved, you're going to have to realize that you're not a good person. You're not a good person. You say, "Preacher, I try to do good." It don't matter how much you try, you're going to miss the mark and you're going to fail. I was studying about Adam and Eve this week, because really, to study the home, you've got to go back to where the home started, and that was in Genesis. And I thought about this week. If Adam and Eve was created, they wasn't even born, they was created by the hands of God in a perfect world, in a perfect environment. Are you hearing the preacher this morning? Completely perfect. And the devil tricked them into messing up and sinning in the garden. You and I don't have a prayer. We don't have a hope, man. We're in trouble. Why do we need salvation? Because we're sinners. We must realize, think about this, and I'm moving, but we must realize that we cannot save ourselves. I can't save me. I can't save my children. I try my best, and I'll say more about raising children tonight in the message, but I try my best, Brother Ryan, to raise them right, to train them right, but I cannot save them. I cannot save them. You cannot save yourself. I cannot save myself. Listen to what he said in Titus 3. "Not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Lord, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life." What did he say? He said that by being justified by his grace. It's his grace that saves us. It's his mercy that saves us. It's his blood that transforms us. We must realize that there must be a revealing of the Spirit. There must be a realization about ourselves. You said, "Preacher, I'm trying to do right." You can try all you want to, but you're going to fail. You say, "Preacher, but I'm in church today." I am too. I'll be back tonight. Lord's willing, I'll be here Wednesday night. Lord's willing, I read my Bible this week. And Lord's willing, I'll pray this week. And Lord's willing, I'll study this week. I'll preach some more this week. Are you hearing me? But that'll never get me to heaven. That'll never get me to heaven. I'm not going to heaven today because I carry a King James Bible. I'm not going to heaven today because I'm preaching the word. I'm going to heaven today because there was a time that the Holy Ghost revealed to me the condition of myself, and I realized I was wicked and vile and needed God. That's the reason I'm going to heaven. There must be a revealing of the Spirit, a realization about ourselves. Sirs, what must I do to be saved? Watch this, number three. There must be repentance of sin. There must be repentance of sin. I have read this verse number 33, and they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved in thine house." And some preachers will say this, there's no repentance in that verse. But I beg to differ with you. But truly believing the Lord is repentance. Because you know what you're doing at that very moment? You're turning from everything that you can do for yourself, and you're 100% completely trusting Him, and that is repentance. What did he say? Here's what he said. And Luke chapter 13, verse number 3 and verse number 5 says the same thing. I tell you nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. What is repentance? One said this, repentance is a 360. But I disagree with that. Because a 360, I'm right back where I started at. I had a 67 Chevrolet with an LS6 in it, and it would do some really quick 360s. Let me put that in good old boy terms, it'd do some tight donuts, wouldn't it, Brother Josh? You've been in it doing it, hadn't you? And you know what? We was going right back in the same direction we started. Repentance is not a 360. Repentance is a 180. Repentance is turning from what you was doing and turning to Christ. Some examples of repentance in the Word of God. You remember the story in Luke? There was a prodigal son. Now the age-old discussion was the prodigal son saved or was a prodigal son lost? It's a parable. I think there's an application. You can preach it both ways. Let's just leave it right there. But let me tell you what he done. He came to himself. And when he came to himself, he turned from the hog lot and went to the Father. And I want you to hear me right here. You can knock on somebody's door. You can beg them to come to church. You can plead with them to come to church. But until that individual comes to themselves, let me tell you the reason, and I don't mean this ugly, but let me tell you the reason the alcoholic runs right back to the alcohol. Let me tell you the reason the dope addict runs right back to the dope. Here's the reason why. They have never come to themselves. And until they get to a point where they come to themselves and realize there's a God that can help them and transform their life, they'll continue in the same path. That prodigal came to himself. You remember the story in Luke chapter number 19 of Zacchaeus? Remember that story? Zacchaeus was a wee little man, and a wee little man was he. He climbed up in a sycamore tree for the Lord he wanted to see. And as the Savior passed that way, he looked up in the tree, and he said, Zacchaeus, you come down, for I'm going to your house today. Y'all remember, has nobody ever heard the Zacchaeus song, man? Have you heard it? I started to say, you was raised around here, and if you hadn't heard that, they're gone, man. We're booting them. You know what Zacchaeus done? He come down. The Lord went home with him, and you know what he done? He went back and started paying all that money back that he had took. He was a crooked tax collector. He'd fit in today's world, but anyway, he went back and started paying every bit of that money back. You know what that was? That was repentance. There was repentance. I thought about this. What about the Thessalonians in 1 Thessalonians 1? They turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. Repentance is simply this. It is turning from our ways and turning to Him. You know what he told that jailer that night? He said, you're going to have to believe on God. You're going to have to turn from everything that you've been believing. You're going to have to turn from everything that you've been doing. And you're going to have to believe on the Lord. And you know what the good news is? When you do that, thou shalt be saved. Let me show you this. There must be a revealing of the Spirit. There must be a realization about self. There must be repentance of sin. But can I say this to you in closing today? There must be a receiving. There must be a receiving of the Savior. There must be a receiving of the Savior. The Bible said this in John 1. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. There must come a time that we receive Christ into our heart and into our life. I said this the other night. I was talking to Miss Olivia, Leslie and I was, and she was asking us some things about salvation. She was questioning some things. And here's what I told her. I said, I can't tell you every word that I prayed the day that I got saved. But I can tell you this, that night that I got up out of my pew, I believe that's when I got it, by the way. I really believe that's when I got it. I didn't pray till I got to the back out loud. But when I got up in my heart, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, then with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. When I got up out of my pew that night, you know what I was saying, Brother Josh? Lord, I need you. Lord, my life's a mess. Lord, I can't figure it out on my own. Lord, I need you. And you know what happened that very moment? That I repented of my sins and I realized that about myself and the Holy Spirit drawed me to Him. You want me to tell you what happened that very moment? That very moment the Savior moved into my heart and the Savior moved into my life. I thought about this. What did He say? To them gave He power to become the sons of God. Who? He came unto his own received him not, but as many as received him. Come start playing softly, if you will, Miss Daniel. Revelations 22:17 says this. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. You know what he's saying? Here's what he's saying. If you're thirsty today, I've got a drink of fresh water for you. If you're hungry today, I've got food for you. Whatever you need in your life, that's what I am. There must come that time where we receive Him and our life. I want you to hear me today. Your good works will never get you to heaven. I believe in being good to those around you. I believe in helping your neighbor. I believe in helping your brother in their time of need. I believe in every bit of that. But honey, none of that will ever get us to heaven. None of that. That is the good old boy of our day. That's what we've been taught to do around here. We was raised in the country. We was raised in the South. And that's what we've been taught to do, is to help somebody in their time of need. But that'll never get me to heaven. Let me tell you the only reason I'm going to heaven today. It's because at 16 years old, I realized I was lost and on the road to hell. I realized that I needed a Savior. I wasn't a drunk. I wasn't a dope addict. I was what the world thought a good old boy. I lived at a preacher's house, and my daddy pastored a big church, and we was having a great old big youth camp. We was right in the middle of that youth camp. But at that moment, and I've thought back in my life. I really have. I've thought back in my life. And I told Miss Olivia this the other night. We was talking and we all kind of laughed about this. I said, I remember evidently at some point in time, I had said I got saved. I don't ever remember doing that. But evidently at some point in time, I had said that because I remember that He baptized me. And I was scared to death of water, Brother Brian. I still am. I hate water. I hate it. I know that sounds funny because I love to fish so much, but I hate water. If you want to fight with me, you start pushing me towards water. And I promise you, the preacher's leaving. Somebody say amen right there. I remember when Daddy started to put me under, I grabbed his necktie and held on to his necktie. And I think it didn't have nothing to do with God at that point. It had to do, I'm your daddy, and I will put you under. And He did too. So at some point in my life, evidently I had made a profession of faith. But I honestly don't remember that. Matter of fact, I never really remember ever being under conviction until that night at 16 years old. And I was sitting on that pew. And boy, all of a sudden, it wasn't Daddy at the pulpit. It wasn't Mama singing. It wasn't a youth choir singing. All of a sudden, somebody else come in the room that I had never had a talk with before. Brother Ramsey, he come right to my pew and reached right deep down inside my heart and said, son, you're going to die and go to, boy, I sure am glad.
Amen.
He came by that night. Boy, I got up. I'll never forget it. And I went down that side aisle, went through the door, went to the adult men's prayer room, and Darren Hester and Steve Doolin was in there. I said, boys, you ain't got to read. I could quote the Romans Road. I said, you ain't got to read me nothing. Well, I bowed down that night. I can't tell you everything God said, but I do remember this. I said, Lord, to the best of my ability, I ask you to forgive me of my sins and come into my heart and save me. But let me tell you what I really think happened. I believe when I stood up, Brother Scotty, I believe when I put my first foot out, you know what I was doing in my heart at that very moment? I was turning from the world and I was believing that he would save me. Boy, that night the Lord moved into my heart. I've not always been a good person since then. Matter of fact, there was a time in my life that I'd give anything to change it, but I can't. But you know what? During that time, the good Lord sure whooped me. Because he said, those whom I loveth, I correcteth. And I'll never forget that day that Christ moved into my heart. Sirs, what must I do to be saved? I want to ask you a question this morning. I'm not worried about you being a church member. I'm not worried about you singing in the choir. I'm going to ask you a personal question today. If you died today, where would you spend eternity? If you say heaven, then can I ask you another question? Why? Why? I tell you the reason I am. I done told you. Because I realized I was lost and on the road to hell. And I asked God to forgive me my sins, come into my heart and save me. If you can't say that there's ever been that time that you turned from the world to Christ and you asked Christ to come into your heart and save you, I'm not saying you got to remember every word you said. I told that over and over to Miss Olivia the other night. I said, I don't remember every word that I said. But I do remember this. I do remember this. Christ changed me. I'm not what I used to be. The Lord changed my life. Are you saved today? Sirs, what must I do to be saved? I've had this question asked. Preacher, how do I know if the Lord's still drawing me to salvation if I'm lost? How do I know that? You know, I've thought about that a lot, Brother Dakota. Miss Dawn, I've really put a lot of thought into my mind on that. I've asked several other preachers, and can I just give you some genealogy on that? Nothing in your flesh will ever tell you to get saved. Nothing in your natural man will ever tell you to get saved. So if there's something inside of you today that's saying, oh, you need to get saved. You need to meet the Lord as your Savior. Let me tell you what that is. It's the Holy Spirit of God drawing you to salvation. How long He will draw, I don't know. There does come a time when God cuts it off. There does come a time when God says, I'm done. So while He's drawing, I beg of you, meet Him as your Savior today. I promise you, He'll change your life. He'll change your life. Everything that you need, that's what He is.